If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, you're about to hear our brand new podcast, My Crazy Family. And if you like it, I need your help. To let other folks know that this show exists, we need reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you got about 10, 15 free seconds, please head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a quick review, and I'll make it worth your while. Send me a screenshot of that review, and I'll enter you into a contest to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So leave the review on Apple Podcasts, send me the screenshot to contest@crazyfampod.com. That's contest@crazyfampod.com. And later in the year, we'll randomly pick someone for that $500 Amazon gift card. So please leave that review at Apple Podcasts, then send me the screenshot. contest@crazyfampod.com. And thanks. You know, there's a lot of things you can put underneath your sink. What's under your sink, Stacey?
You know, I think I've got maybe, my dishwasher cleaning pods. I think I've got some, you know, scrubbing stuff, some dish pads, that kind of thing.
Normal things is what you're getting at. Well, one husband decided to keep a special collection of his essence, I guess you could say, under the sink. Why? Well, that's going to shock you today.
Boy.
Mine. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday and Wednesday. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts as well. It's My Crazy Family. I'm Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole over there. And yeah, there's some good ones in this episode of the program. And actually, you know, there's so many things with this show where you go, you can't make this shit up. It just keeps coming. And I don't know if we're ever going to run to the point where it's like, well, I've heard that before, because families are so unique. They find new ways of terrorizing each other every single day in ways you'd never expect.
Yeah, that is a true statement. And I think this story that we're going to do, it crosses so many lines and so many boundaries that I almost wondered if it was true, but it's so shocking that it has to be true.
It's disturbing and shocking. And it's just, I don't know. My mind just runs in circles going, how, why, what is going through your mind that you thought this is a good idea or that it would be even sanitary for that matter?
Oh God,
what you're doing. It's like it's like you must really have no respect for the person in your life if this is what you're doing. And people don't even know what we're talking about yet, but it's truly just fucked up. By the way, if you have a screwed up family story, a crazy family story, we would love to hear it. Just go to our website, crazyfampod.com, and there's a form right there. You just fill it right out and then click send, and then we get your crazy family story. Or you can call it in toll free at 1-833-CRAYFAM, 1-833-CRAYFAM in digits. That translates to 1-833-272-9326, 833-272-9326. Call that story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we may listen to it here on the program. So let's dive into this one, because I've been horrified and also kind of looking forward to talking about this on the show.
Yeah, same here. All right, here we go, guys. Okay, so I'm a woman in my 30s. I just yesterday our garbage disposal stopped working and I was trying to see why. So I was looking under the sink and I moved stuff out to get in there to take a look around more easily. In the very back, tucked away, was a mason jar that I thought was just over halfway full of kitchen grease at first. But I realized it wasn't grease. I thought it looked a little bit like semen. So I made the mistake of opening it, and by the smell, I knew it was definitely semen. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Disgusted, I threw it away in the dumpster outside. It had to have been my husband's, but I don't know why he would save semen in a jar.
Oh, it was on Martha Stewart a couple weeks ago. Oh, it was like, God. Get ready for fall crafts and all natural glue. It's a way to be earth friendly. Yeah. He learned it on Earth Day.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it down here.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, there's more. My husband got home and I asked him about it. He seemed very embarrassed and confessed it was indeed a jar full of semen he was filling for almost a year. I was shocked and I asked him why. He said whenever it was my time of the month or I wasn't in the mood, he'd jerk off into the jar after I went to bed. I asked him why not just go in the toilet or use tissues or in the shower or something, but why a fucking jar? Well, he couldn't answer that other than saying he's been doing it since he was a kid. I told him I want it to stop using a jar because it's disgusting. He told me he didn't want to and asked where the precious little jar was. I told him I threw it away. And he was angry that I did that. All right, so we continue on.
It doesn't just end there. This is where it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of times where husbands should just shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is where I'm glad he expressed this so she knew what she was dealing with and could make appropriate choices. But at the same point, in his interest, he should have just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just stop right there.
Yep.
Okay, so he told me he didn't want to stop and asked where the jar was. I told him I threw it away, and he became upset. He said it took him a long time to fill the jar that much. And now he had to start over, and we argued about him using a jar to store old jizz in. I still don't understand why he wants to fill the jar, for fuck's sake. We argued about it, and during the argument, he went to the refrigerator, took a large jar of pickles out, dumped them, and started rinsing out the jar and said, this is the cum jar now.
Oh, my God.
Before I knew it, I'm literally screaming at my husband about cumming in jars and told him he can either come in me or the jar, but not both. He clutched the jar and stormed off to the bathroom. I was speechless. I sat down, started watching TV, trying to take my mind off of what had just happened. He came and joined me and tried to patch things up. I asked him where he hid the jar, and he wouldn't fucking tell me. He told me we should just forget about the fight. He apologized to me and told me he'd make sure I didn't have to see the jar if I didn't want to. I wanted us to stop fighting, so I agreed, and we didn't speak about it for the rest of the night. He fell asleep early, and I laid in bed for over an hour thinking about that fucking jar. I don't understand why he's so intent on doing something so disgusting, and I'm still angry about it. Well, that's not where the story ends. Here's an update. My husband got home. We sat down and talked. And after a lot of prying, I got him to finally come clean with me about why he's coming in a jar and why it's in the kitchen.
Oh, God.
He gets very excited when I eat his cum, and he makes pancakes every weekend for breakfast. He mixes it into the pancake batter and gets off on me eating it without my knowledge or consent. He has been doing this regularly for our entire marriage and has mixed cum into other things I've eaten and drank. I have, of course, swallowed his cum before, but this is different because he did this without my consent. God. I honestly couldn't yell at him or even say anything. I absolutely felt numb. I just got up and started throwing shit in a bag. When he tried to talk me down and stop me, I ended up just leaving with bare essentials and told him I need space and I'll reach out to him when I'm ready to talk. I've taken some time off of work and I'm headed to a friend's house for a few days. I asked her if I could stay. She doesn't know why. And honestly, I don't know what the hell to tell her or anybody else for this matter. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what this means for our marriage. I feel disgusted, used, and like my trust in my husband has been severely damaged. I haven't even cried about this yet. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Are you taking a moment?
I'm taking a moment. She said, I don't know what to do. I think I just need to have a cry first and hopefully I'll figure it out. That is the end of the story. We do not have an update. We don't have anything. That's it.
I think number one, there must be some strength in the marriage if she's able to not just immediately say we're getting divorced. I think that would be, I can't really contemplate this because it doesn't work the same way for if you were to flip roles. But I guess if I was a wife and a woman and I found out my husband was doing this without my consent, it wouldn't be something like, ooh, that's hot. It'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And what else are you capable of? Because that just shows there's a lot of wrong going on there in that mind.
So I know somebody in the legal field and he said that this is most likely assault. Obviously of a sexual nature. Mm-hmm. The other thing that really bothers me, I mean, the whole thing bothers me, but there's an aspect of this. He's been filling this jar for a year. And you brought it up when we were talking about it right in the beginning, that it's not very hygienic. Well, the bacteria growing in there, it wasn't refrigerated.
Yeah. See, this is one I'm even afraid to like look up. Does semen go bad?
I thought about calling the health department yesterday, but I didn't want anybody going, wait a minute, we have your number. What's going on?
Exactly. Exactly. This call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Exactly.
Hey, Bill, listen to this one. Don't you reckon? You sound familiar. Oh, that's that Stacy who used to be on the radio.
Right? I didn't want anybody knowing who I was. I didn't want anybody having any idea that I was even dealing with something like this, like a story. How do you recover from this? Do you recover from this?
There's some things you just don't recover from. And there's some things in marriage vows that you just can't foresee. And you have to call an audible and you have to be like, well, I didn't predict this would happen. I didn't specifically put it in wording that this would be a deal breaker, but this is going to have to just be called an audible. And sorry, you did shit that was beyond even the purview of what I was looking out for. And that's what you got to do. I mean, I had to do that. I had to go and say, yeah, you did some shit that we can't really come back from. So I wish you the best, but this ain't going to work anymore. I think violence, things of that nature, that's where, you have to go sickness, health, and, you come in a jar or you threaten to kill us. Those are things where you're kind of like, done. We're just done. It's over.
And how do you, so she's going to her friend's house. She walks in the door. She bursts out crying. She needs a hug.
What happened, girl? Girl, what's going on with your man? What is this?
What's going on?
He's coming in a jar and he's putting it in pancakes. Oh, that's some nasty shit, girl. I don't know why I'm suddenly like, that would be, instead of going and watching reruns of Taxi, which I don't think anyone does anymore, I would be calling an attorney. And I think something like this, here's the only advice I would give on something like this. You may be able to avoid a real nasty, shitty divorce if that's the route you want to go by simply saying, here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to do it. I will not say anything about this to anybody in our circle. It's one thing if you throw it out there anonymously online, nobody's really going to connect dots on who these people are, because I have no fucking clue who these people are. Could be anybody anywhere. But you say, you use it as leverage. I'm not saying to blackmail anybody, but he puts you in this situation. So I'm not saying to ask for anything crazy or ridiculous or like make him broke or anything, but you do have an upper hand enough to say, here's what I think is fair. Have a conversation and you may be able to get out of this thing fairly easily. An uncontested divorce is the best thing in the fucking world. Other than that, you're dealing with attorneys left and right, and they're out to line their fucking pockets with your shit. So if you can have both people realize something really shitty happened here, we both just want to move on. We don't really have malice towards each other. Let's just say this isn't going to work. You may have some pretty good grounds to get that ball rolling. Now, if he's going to be an asshole about it and be like, I don't want, I'm not going to do it. Like, well, then I'm going to start sharing this with your friends and family.
Well, and your family, your yeah. mom and dad are going to find out that you've been jizzing in a jar and adding it as a condiment. Yeah.
Or not even say that. Just like, well, then this is going to come out in court and I'd rather not have to do that to you. If I have to do that, I'll do that. But let's not do that, because there will be a divorce no matter what. And we can either do this easy and fair, or it will end up being fair because the judge will make it fair and this shit will be exposed. So I don't want to be exposed that you were doing this to me, and you probably don't want this exposed that you were doing this to me. So, but who knows? People are crazy. So who knows?
Well, and I think it speaks to her mental stability that she didn't fucking strangle him right then and there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. You know, I've seen food dropped on the floor and like, you know, my husband will pick it up and sometimes he'll eat it, depends on where it landed or something. And I'm just like repulsed, you know, like, ew,
but he doesn't,
how could you do that?
But if you drop a grilled cheese, he doesn't like drop trowel and jerk off on the grilled cheese going, look, sauce.
No,
it's like Chick-fil-A.
When I told him about this story, I thought he was going to be sick. And I'm like, yeah, I feel the same way. I can't imagine what this poor woman felt like.
I would run. I don't know that I could ever patch this up and be like, oh, that's cool.
Well, there's times in life where things don't make sense. And it doesn't mean that there is anything nefarious going on. Just sometimes things just don't make sense. You would always be suspecting him of doing something wrong. Always.
Yeah, without regard. And that's, it truly is what it is. It takes a long time to build trust. And this is just such a deep violation of that. I mean, I almost think like you could work through cheating easier than you could work through this one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many times where I've said that in situations where, situations I've been in where it's like, I think cheating would have been easier to deal with. Like than contemplating what just happened.
And this is so premeditated. Yeah. This is so planned out.
It's a way of life. Yeah,
and it wasn't just a one-off. Like I thought just wanted to see what it would be like. No, he kept doing it.
Yeah, and then insisted and was upset, dumping pickles out, getting another jar ready right away when your wife is utterly horrified that you did it. You're like, I need another jar. That's a compulsion. That's a sexual disorder. There's something going on there. And if you don't want to call it a disorder, then don't. But then find somebody who's into that. And I don't know that that's going to...
Very well might be. Somebody out there might really get a kick out of that. And that's who he needs to be with.
Yeah.
Not somebody who's unsuspecting.
You can't do that to anybody. I mean, and especially like your wife.
Your fucking wife.
Without her knowledge. I mean, if you're both into whatever, do whatever the fuck you want. But I can't see that being an okay thing. Ever.
No. Should we move on before we vomit?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, dear God. Seriously, I was so concerned I couldn't get through that story.
Let me just get a little, I'm putting a little creamer here in my coffee. I have that one where you push the thing down and it kind of comes out of it. And it's kind of that white cream. What do you think of that stuff? It's kind of, I don't like it that, but it's all I got. So,
Oh, my God. All right. Next story. Two of my cousins, adult women in their 30s and 40s, got into a brawl, and it started because some soda spilled on the floor. My two cousins, let's call them Maria and June, they each have kids. Maria has a son named John, who at the time was 2, maybe 3 years old. June has 3 kids that range from 7 to 13. One night, our family got together and had dinner at my aunt's house. June's middle son, Ray, was pouring soda for Maria's son in a cup. Well, John moved the cup, soda spilled on the floor, and he started laughing. Well, Ray got upset and screamed at him. Maria didn't take too kindly to that and told him to shut the fuck up and just pour the soda. Well, Ray started complaining and whining, which angered Maria, and she slapped him upside the head. Well, June got upset and started arguing with Maria. 2 minutes later, June goes into the kitchen and Maria sits on the couch. It seems the drama has passed when all of a sudden this plastic container with beans goes flying across the room and hits Maria. It was on. Shit got real and they started hitting each other. It moved from the dining room to the kitchen, back to the dining room. June's eldest daughter was hitting Maria from the back, which prompted another female cousin of mine who was a year older to grab her and beat the living shit out of her. After the mayhem, there was food everywhere. No one ate with the exception of one of my cousins who just sat in a corner during the fight and enjoyed his meal.
Thinking someday I'm going to create a podcast about this. It's material. Take it in.
Tony, was this your story?
No, it's not, but yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I would totally be doing that. I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to stop this. Let's see, can I get a video?
Oh my God. I so want to see the person just sitting there eating their, you know, macaroni and cheese, watching this shit.
Yeah. You have to assume that a family that's going to get violent like that on each other, there's probably a history of it in some way, shape, or form. Because that's not something that what family just erupts into without ever having done so before. That's a behavior that either you are a person that does that or you're a person that doesn't do that. That's not like a switch that just gets flipped on later in life and suddenly you're going to go after somebody for something like that. You know, it's one thing if you're self-defense and somebody's attacking you, but somebody here is apt to be very physical very quickly.
Absolutely.
The thing is, that's an element in some families that I can't comprehend. I know my family is not physically violent in any way, shape, or form, never has been, at least to my knowledge, never at a family gathering or anything of that nature. I don't really suspect it in anybody's home. So it's the idea that a family gets into like beatdowns with each other, and then the next week everybody's over at grandma's for barbecue. I that's got to be so awkward or just completely normal because that's how it always has been. But then you got kids that grow up in that environment and think that's normal. And they don't have the compass to say, I don't want that in my life. And they don't have the compass to say when they're meeting other people and getting involved in other families, if they're doing that, if they're not doing that, it's going to feel abnormal to them, number one. And that kind of, I think, makes people sometimes then seek out the similar. But you're then seeking out chaos without you even knowing it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't say, I think I've seen maybe an actual physical fight in my life, maybe twice.
Yeah. Family.
You know, so I it wasn't family. Yeah. It was just out in public. Some, you know, stuff started going down and, you know, two people start beating each other. And I can't imagine within the confines of a home. But I know a lot of people deal with stuff like this all the time. It's got to be really disconcerting.
Well, what's fucked up about it is if you're the kid and you're growing up with this and your family is utterly chaotic in every way, shape, or form, in a lot of cases you grow up and you're not comfortable in a setting where the family isn't chaotic in every way, shape, and form. And it feels weird to you and it makes you start thinking, is this normal? Like you're literally uncomfortable with calm, and being still and just being in a good, safe place. I've dated people like that over the years, it was such a weird thing for me to try and understand. Cause it's like, why are you uncomfortable? Like what's, you know, like doesn't like, you know, your uncle go and like scream at somebody or something at some point or, you know, all the chaos things that they had gone through. Like, no. What are you talking about? You know, and that's something, it's conditioning is what it is. And it's sad because as a person, it's not your fault that you think you naturally gravitate towards that because it feels normal, but it is something that would be good as an adult to identify and say, yeah, I was programmed the wrong way. Let's get this fixed. Otherwise you keep ending up with that sort of environment and that sort of people. And you keep wondering, why is that? Well, you're repeating what you know, and what you know is not the greatest.
sad.
It is. It's, yeah. What else we got?
All right. Well, my great grandfather owned a vaudeville house in a small town in Missouri.
Whose grandpa doesn't?
Right. You know, that's not something you hear about very often anyway, vaudeville anymore.
No.
Great grandmother's husband ran out on her and left her. She went to work for great granddad as a ticket seller. Long story short, they married and went on a honeymoon trip. When they came back from their honeymoon, somebody held a reception for them. Great grandma's first and now former husband shows up, draws a gun on great granddad. Great granddad drew his gun and shot the guy dead. All this happened in front of the sheriff, who immediately declared that it was self-defense on my great grandfather's part. The reception then turned into a 3-day party.
Oh my God.
It gets better. Great granddad's sister married a guy with ties to the mob. Granddad, being just 12 years old, owned a Model T and a revolver, like you do when you're 12.
Yeah.
Granddad went to work for his uncle in Kansas City as a runner. One day, while great aunt and great uncle were having dinner in their upstairs dining room, a guy hanging from the roof guttering shot great uncle dead right where he sat. My father, as a teen, set off a cannon that was used in the Spanish-American War in the middle of the night. The explosion broke windows for several blocks. One of my aunts ran a string of successful massage parlors in Kansas City that were not legitimate. The person she eventually sold them to was busted for pandering and running a prostitution ring not long after taking ownership. That is some family fucking history.
That would be interesting. I've, you know, watching Sopranos and all that stuff, it always kind of makes you wonder, what would it be like to have a life where that's what you're born into, in like the mob? And, you know, in some ways, there's a very close-knit family ties in situations like that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of love and a lot of, it's like extreme, it's the extremes. It's extreme love, it's extreme emotion, and then the other extreme is, we'll fucking kill anybody that, you know, we don't like and we're crossing our way.
Disrespect the family.
Yeah. So, and it's got to be really confusing, especially if you're a kid and then you're trying to grow and maybe you don't want to be part of that family or part of the business of the family anymore. You know, is it easy to have a separate life and still, you know, be part of the love, but not part of the crime? Or do you just really have to get away from the whole thing? And do you risk anything if you just get away from the whole thing? Because you know too much. And then you have to have some fear of this family that had this extreme love for you. But because you're not going along with their deal, they, you know, they view you as kind of a threat almost of what could be exposed.
Oh, absolutely. You're just an insider. You've got way too much information. You're going to talk.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to the line in here about my granddad, being 12 years old, owned a Model T, which is a car, mm-hmm. and a revolver at 12 years old. You know, with our gun culture these days, we get outraged, and rightfully so. But a 12-year-old walking around with a revolver?
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably very normal.
The funny thing is, what a different place and time that we live in now. In some states, a 12-year-old is still required to be in a child's seat, in the back yes. seat, like literally yes. a booster seat, which is utterly insane. And I don't follow it because it's fucking crazy. But in some places, that's what the law is. But it's 50 years ago, kid had a Model T.
Yeah, he had a car and he had a gun. And I'm sure he had a job because how did he get all of that?
Exactly.
Who knows? Maybe he had a wife.
You know, and it's like, it kind of look at, let's go, we're not really fully exploring what our children are capable of anymore, are we? We're just really kind of like, you can do sports, you can do that, but you can't get the car, you can't get the gun. I think if we open that up a little bit more, we'd be really surprised what our children are capable of. You know, let's put children first and let them get cars and guns at an earlier age.
Just unbelievable. Unfucking believable. The whole thing is just crazy.
I couldn't imagine being in that sort of a situation. But, yeah, Wild West in the Midwest.
Would you trust a 12-year-old with a car these days?
Depends on the 12-year-old.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
I mean, for the most part, no to anyone, but there's some I would certainly trust more that would have the ability to know, number one, not to drive it. But if they needed to drive it, let's say it's like a super crazy emergency, and I don't know what situation that would ever make sense in, but let's say there is one, there's some I would trust more than others.
Yeah, you know, maybe you're driving back from the grocery store and mom's having a seizure or something, and you slide her over to the passenger side and decide you're going to take her right to the hospital instead of calling 911.
If the hospital's like right up the road, like let's say the hospital is literally like a block away. Okay.
Yeah.
But if it's like it's across town and you got to get on the freeway, no, that I would not. I would wait for the ambulance in that situation. If it's right up the road, I'd say take the wheel and go.
Yeah. And most 12-year-olds, if they don't have a cell phone, they certainly know how to use one.
Yeah.
They know how to call 911. It wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
God. Families.
We've talked about some really crazy shit today.
Families are just lovely, from semen jars to mob families and fights over spilled soda. Another wonderful episode of My Crazy Family. If you have a crazy family story, and even if it doesn't stack up to these, that's okay. We're not like setting the bar and you have to beat it.
No.
So although who the hell knows, I think we're going to inadvertently do that. And it's just, we think it's bad now. I'm curious what this is like a year from now, as far as the level to which stories go. We want to hear yours. Go ahead.
We should do an award.
That would be interesting. Craziest family of the year.
Yeah. And everybody gets to vote.
That would be interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah, we
should,
I do too.
We should start nominating stories. We should nominate a story from each episode, and then later on in the year, we'll narrow that down even more, and then we'll let people vote from that. So,
well, I'm voting, and I you know, you can take me out of the running, but the semen story, semen pancakes, that girl, she deserves a spa vacation. And, you know, if we could get some prizes together to get to her, I would love that.
We don't have anybody's information or anything though. So, but
very true,
but we will recognize it on the air without giving out any names. So yes. Why don't you start creating a list for us of this? Each episode, we'll pick our craziest story. They're nominated, and then we'll break that down further in the year and narrow it down and let the audience pick their craziest story.
Ugh.
So start a list, semen pancakes on it, number one.
Yep.
And we'll go from there. Semen pancakes. All right. Never thought I'd say that group of wording together. That's going to wrap up today's episode of My Crazy Family. Share your crazy family story with us. Call 833-CRAYFAM, 833-CRAYFAM. Call it 24/7. Leave your story there. Or you can write in at crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to My Crazy Family.
My. Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there. And sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest, or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAYFAM, or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.